Welcome to Gonkcast, a long-form discussion podcast about the music of English electronic duo Autechre, album by album, EP by EP. I'm Gabe.
I'm Dan.
And this episode, we've arrived in 2005, featuring Autechre's eighth LP, Untilted, and nothing else. Indeed, this is yet another album with no accompanying EP for us to discuss, but we'll make up for that by getting into a ton of your emails. Also, don't worry, every main episode after this will cover hours and hours of Autechre. On that note, we'll do another listener email episode next week, so be sure to send us any lingering thoughts on Untilted, gonkcastpod@gmail.com. And while you're at it, send us your thoughts on our next main topic as well, the uber divisive Quoristis, plus all of the accompanying EPs. We're not 100% sure how we're gonna handle that. We might split into two episodes. We'll figure it out, but get those emails coming in. Again, gonkcastpod@gmail.com. Twitter is @gonkcastpod, and you'll find all that contact info in the show notes of this episode. All right, Dan, what background info do we need to know about Untilted?
Autechre released Untilted April 18th of 2005, almost exactly 2 years after Draft 730. Like Draft and unlike Confield, Untilted was meticulously sequenced by hand using an all-hardware setup, a lot of the Electron mono machine and machine drum, apparently. In a 2005 interview, Rob reveals that several tracks consist of nothing more than a couple of drum machines and a MIDI sequencer, and he describes the album as purely programmed, grid-programmed, all on screen. Just nudging MIDI events around, totally just mousing it. I love that. Likewise, yeah. In a 2008 interview, Sean said that everything was programmed and we literally just pressing go and capturing the output. Untilted is known for its long mutating compositions. Sublimit held the record for longest Autechre track until Elsec dropped in 2015. But Sean clarifies that even the long pieces were written serially. The album is also known for its danceability. The press notes sent to the reviewer state, "We can't get away from the fact that we're DJs."
On that note, the critical reception to Untilted was not so hot. In a 3.5-star review, AllMusic complains that, quote, "there's no innovative music to be heard here." Pitchfork gave it a 7.4 and basically didn't even try to write a review. Seriously, read it sometime. It's like one of the weirdest Pitchfork reviews of all time. And even The Wire, which heaped all kinds of praises on Draft, one of the few, expressed disappointment that, quote, "Autechre have pulled back on the throttle of their excursions into the unknown." Fans on Rate Your Music, however, seem to have warmed to Untilted over the years. It slowly worked its way up to a 3.59 average rating, making it the lowest rated Autechre album up to this point, but still much higher than most of the albums to come. I always like to ask you, Dan, what is your sense of Untilted's status nowadays?
Yeah, you know, I always like struggle to not just get my own feelings in that, but you know, I feel like I see a decent amount of Untilted flares in the Autechre subreddit, I was reading through the reviews and stuff on Untilted on Rate Your Music today, and you know, people, it seems divisive. There's a lot of like 1-star reviews and 2-star, but then there's a lot of higher ones, and then the comment box is full of people begging for it to be re-bolded. I guess it was bolded in the past, so it seems somewhat mixed from what I can tell.
Yeah, I guess I don't have like a good handle on this. I feel like I don't hear anybody ever talk about it, but after you mentioned that, I think you're right. I do recall seeing a lot of, you know, Untilted flair in the AE subreddit. So maybe it's got kind of like that, you know, that hidden gem, like fans only kind of kind of a thing. But, you know, I'll sort of transition into my personal history. This is one of these albums, just like the last three, that I never really listened to on its own, you know, never really thought about on its own that much. I just thought of it as like, oh, yeah, one of the albums from that middle period. You know, I would say at the same time that I've always kind of liked it because it's, you know, it's got a lot of energy, as we'll discuss. So I've enjoyed throwing it on, but I honestly find myself forgetting that it exists quite often. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, similar to you. I mean, basically, this whole middle period, like I said, and I think you said, just kind of is the period of Autechre that I never like purposely listen to. It's always in the context of, you know, a discography run through or, you know, throwing on some other sort of records. And, you know, I said last time that, you know, Draft 730 is always sort of been my least favorite Autechre record. And Untilted is always sort of been my second least favorite one. You know, it's one I never like, you know, really have the urge to throw on its own.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably say that, like, you know, if asked about it, I would say, oh yeah, that one's fun. But you know, I just don't really have any like strong opinions about it, or didn't until this past week. So I want to ask you how you would describe the overall sound of Untilted, as always. But as was the case with a draft, we've actually got a short description from Sean himself in the 2013 Ask Autech or Anything. He says the album is, quote, like Dutch motorways or something, but the scenery changes abruptly, like playing Outrun or something. That's like a 80s arcade racing game, I guess. Neat as fuck, but scary and fast. So what do you think of that, and how would you describe Untilted?
You know, I think that's a decent description. You know, I've never been on a Dutch motorway, but you know, I've been on a American one, and you know, it does sort of seem like that. You know, like if you're going on a road trip and you know, somewhere with like a sort of like diverse you know, biosphere or whatever, like, you know, you're just constantly, you know, the scenery's changing. You know, it can be frantic, you know, on the highway you're driving 75, 80, you know, some, you know, it's just always like the sort of constant propulsion and like movement. And I think that really does like kind of sum up the way this record feels. Even the percussion here is very like, you know, it's not your like typical, you know, rhythms that you know, your 4/4 that people are you know, yeah, used to. You know, I think people would call it random, even though, you know, it's definitely not. And I think, you know, driving can sometimes like kind of sound like that, you know, especially if you think of like other car, you know, like everybody's not driving in time with each other and stuff, you know. So
sure.
I feel like the guy who made this describes it fairly well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm tempted to say it's like, I don't know, I've never done this, but like driving in, you know, Rome or like India or something, where traffic is just like insane and people,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
they're like these little scooters flying all around you and stuff like that. You know, and I'm even more tempted to compare it to like a roller coaster more than a motorway, because it is like a ripping wild ride. I feel like it is hyper speed all the time, and you know, it is pretty percussion focused in the way you're describing, in the sense of like, you know, lots of different percussion is happening all the time and fluttering around your head in like kind of unpredictable ways. And yet I'm surprised that there is kind of a very consistent pulse to all of these tracks. Do you find that, you know, it's not like changing scenery entirely, you know, you're always like kind of driving forward, you know, at a consistent momentum, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's like on the highway, you know, you could set the cruise control or whatever. You're always sort of like driving within, you know, outside of traffic or something. You're always sort of driving within like, you know, 10, 15 mile per hour, you know, window. And I feel like that, you know, with the, you know, BPMs here on this record, like, you know, rarely does it differ too much from each other. I think there's like a very consistent you know, rate of the music on this album.
Yeah. I want to talk about genre a little bit. We got you know, lots of emails I want to read today, but listener Joe directed us to an interview with Venetian Snares, where he said that Untilted was some of the greatest and most impressive beats he had ever heard. Joe adds, I'm not huge into his work, but that's still huge praise coming from someone who's considered a master of glitch and breakcore. On that note, I thought it was very interesting that Untilted's genres on Rate Your Music are IDM, glitch, I guess you would expect those, and flashcore. So, you know, what genre do you think this is? Is this like kind of new genre territory for Autechre?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like the genre thing with things like Autechre is really difficult. You know, most of these things are scenes, you know, like really what they mean by some of these, you know, I honestly don't, yeah, really know what flashcore is, but like Venetian, right, Snares is always like, you know, a part of like breakcore and stuff. And I feel like, you know, this does sort of seem a little reminiscent of Venetian Snares and stuff, but like, you know, breakcore is like a specific scene, which again, I don't claim to know a ton about it or anything, but you know what I mean? Like it's like, you know, it's IDM, but then all these, you know, these little micro genres are really just like a time and a place, Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I understand what you mean. You know, I guess a lot of genres are, you know, pretty arbitrary in that way, but I was struck by these, you know, genre descriptions because I can't really remember ever feeling like an Odd-Taker album was this wild, like this unhinged, you know. It's just like these, not only is it like fast and hyperspeed all the time, but it's right in your face. I mean, I was like really struck by how close a lot of these sounds are to your head and constantly surprised by like, okay, this this sound is inside my head, and then like something new is added and it's even more inside my head somehow, you know. And so that like kind of confrontational quality, we're always talking about how Odd-Taker is like, as a rule, kind of like laid back, or there's sort of like a chilled out groove that we've compared to like krautrock or hip hop to them or something like that. And it's not that they can't get aggressive like on Gantz Graf or something, and yet still this feels just like much more confrontational, like in a very surprising way, I think, if you were an Odd-Taker fan following along chronologically.
Yeah, no, I think confrontational is like a great way to describe it, because you're right. You know, I mean, they've done things like that in the past, like you said, Gantz Graf and stuff, but they've never done like an entire record of it. You're right. You know, the whole thing is like very, I think a lot of like previous Odd-Taker records and stuff, like they play with space a lot, you know, like sounds will, you know, like we've talked about like sometimes like, you know, it sounds like you're in the, they've built this room that you know, the sounds are occupying here. Like, it really, like, minus a couple, you know, things, it really sounds kind of just like, you know, it's recorded not in a real room, you know, like it's recorded directly into the, you know, computer or the tape machine or something, you know, it's very like right on your ears, you know, right in your face. Not a great record to listen to when you have a headache, like I did earlier today trying to do my final listening.
It's true. It's very true, actually, because it's just really bold. It's really loud, and it's conversational, like in such an obvious way, you know, like LCC right off the bat, that like repeating kind of snare sound. It's almost like meant to drive you crazy or something, and it's just hitting you in the head so hard. You know, I want to read another email from listener Mike, who says, "Don't get me wrong, I love the experimental side of Odd-Taker, but sometimes you just want a fun album. There's a sort of frenetic feeling to all of these tracks where they immediately grab your attention. I never feel the length of the album overstays its welcome, and I often find myself in the mood to put the record on. It's just a fun listen." So do you agree with that? And if so, how can that be true, that like it is both fun and really like aggressive?
It's weird. It's a weird dichotomy. I do agree with Mike here, you know, especially like Odd-Taker has, you know, up to this point, they've proved themselves. And I think it's okay for this just to kind of be the fun record, because I do agree with that. It is like sort of a fun thing, despite its aggressiveness. I don't really know how, like, it's possible to marry the two, but I just think that that's maybe the sort of you know, scene sort of thing of it. You know, like I was mentioning Venetian Snares, like I think he's very much the same thing. Like I think like Songs About My Cats is like really kind of a fun record, but it's very like aggressive and very, you know, it's like Untilted, you know, turn to 10 or something. But I think I would still describe something like that as fun, you know. It's that like dancing frenetic energy, even though it's not like I think what you would maybe typically think of as dance music, you know, like I don't know that you're gonna go to the club and hear this record, you know.
So I wanted to, you know, mention that a lot of reviewers highlight the fun and the danceability of this record, as you mentioned earlier, and you know, several listeners wrote to describe it as a bunch of bangers, you know, which we've talked about a couple, debated that about a couple Odd-Taker albums already. You know, I kind of feel like there's like a Sugar Rush quality to this record. I want to describe it as fun, but it feels more like just this electric jolt of inspiration to me. Like, it's weird because these songs are quite long. They take their time and they just like grow and evolve and develop, as we'll discuss more in a minute. And yet I feel like they are so jam-packed with ideas. I get this feeling of like you know, Otsucker just can't wait to show you the next thing. So it's like, here it is, here it is, here it is. And it's like,
we had
all these ideas, so we just laid them all right on top of each other. And so, like, that's why it's just pounding you in the head, because they feel so excited about it. I mean, maybe it's not that. Maybe it's just the songs feel excited. But you know what I mean? Like, that kind of, like, just electric, like, here's everything at once, and I can't wait to show you the next part. You know what? I'm just going to do it early. Here it comes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like a, you know, a toddler or something, you know, that's just constantly asking you a question or something. No, I mean, maybe we're confusing fun for energy, you know?
Because,
I mean, I don't think you could, you know, discredit that there's a ton of energy in this record. And I mean, maybe that's, you know, that's not something Odd-Tekker is, like, I think, overly known for, especially up until this point, you know, like we said, you know, it's happened here and there, but it's never been a record, like, completely full of it. So yeah, maybe a lot of people are conflating, like, the fun with the, you know, energy here on this record.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of just want to, like, spoil my opinion a little bit now and just say that, like, I think this album is brilliant. You know, that's, like, the conclusion I came to this past 2 weeks, or actually 3 weeks since we took a week off. And they just sound so inspired, like, in a way that they did not on Draft. We talked a lot about how Draft felt like they didn't quite know where to go yet, and they were trying, like, a couple different things. Sometimes they were like, let's push Confield forward. Sometimes they were like, let's pull it back. And it resulted in this pretty disjointed listening experience. And here it just sounds like, yeah, maybe it's not fun. Maybe it's just inspired. Maybe it's just energy. But it's just like, I feel like they just can't wait to show us this album. They can't wait to show us, you know, the next song and the next song. On that note, you know, I always ask you, and you always kind of shoot me down on these questions, but do you think this album has, like, a mood? Does it have an emotion? You know, any humanity here? Do you feel any, you know, if not fun, do you feel something else when you listen to this?
I mean, I think the easy one to pick is just fun, or energy, or, you know, I don't know that I see, like, a humanity or anything, but maybe I do more than, I mean, obviously, like, more than something like Confield or whatever, but it's not like it doesn't sound like, you know, some DJs in the club or something, you know, kind of thing. Like, there still is, like, this sort of robotic, like, I mean, the like, programmedness of this record, you know, is, like, obviously, so, like, somebody that, or some bodies that have, like, such extreme knowledge of, like, equipment and how to program that equipment, that, you know, I think it loses, like, some humanity there. But I think, like, the mood, you know, is definitely, like, you know, exuberation, you know, fun.
Yeah. I mean, there's something that I would kind of compare to traditional dance music here, not in, like, sound, but it just in the spirit of the record, and that it is kind of like energy. It does move you. You know, it's like there are parts of this album that feel, you know, kind of like showing off in the way that DJs show off, you know, like the way they can, like, change things on a dime, or, like, you know, the way that LCC just, like, flips all of a sudden, you know, that like snare sound just starts repeating, and then the track is, like, utterly transformed.
Yeah.
So effortlessly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that's a really good point. You know, there is sort of that, like, you know, look how good at programming drum machines we are, you know, kind of feeling in it.
Yeah. And, like, you know, pro Rad Eye or whatever, you know, it's, like, got this kind of, you know, what, like, crowd sounds mixed into it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just sort of feels like, it almost feels something like, watch what we can do. Like, you never would have thought we could put just, like, a crowd noise and weave it seamlessly into this, you know, not just track, but, like, this insane rhythmic workout, right? With these, like, enormous tumbling toms just slamming in, like, a kind of, like, a way that is so complex, it's, like, almost inconceivable. And then they're just seamlessly, like, throwing in dashes of, like, these crowd noises and stuff. And even, like, when you hear that human voice, I'm, like, tempted to say it's, like, Rob or Sean or something, but who the fuck knows? But it just says, like, great. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Like, that is not something they would usually do, I feel like. But it genuinely does sound fun and inspired. And, you know, I think a lot of this is something I want to talk about more later, but, like, a lot of this record, it makes me think of kind of, like, old school music. Like, there's kind of, like, these kind of cuts that remind me of like old school hip hop and stuff. And sometimes like on Augmatic Disport, sometimes I realize when we're recording that I haven't tried to say the yeah, songs yeah. yet. but, you know, it's got like, obviously this ending with like this great kind of deep sub bass, like standard sort of groove that all of a sudden emerges. And there's something like old school about it that reminds me of like when electronic music was just fun, like pre-IDM electronic music, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You know, that is like sort of how it started. I mean, it literally was for playing at, you know, clubs and dancing and for having fun, you know, and then I think Warp and the things around that are what took it into the, you know, the home. You know, we talked about like the artificial intelligence series and everything, like that's what brought you know, electronic music home, you know, not to say that yeah, it made it right. You know, not fun or whatever, but I mean, you know, it sort of did.
yeah and there's just like a virtuoso quality to the history of electronic music. I feel like when you're, you know, you're like spinning two records at the same time or something, and you're like cutting them up and combining them, and you know, it's got a very like physical athletic quality. You know, you can see these YouTube clips of like some DJ, and you're just like, damn, you know, he's just like going back and forth, he's like changing this, and it's almost like a, you know, a dance, like a ritualistic kind of thing. And it's just so weird that, you know, because of like the percussion heavy quality of this record, it does have this kind of like weird primal energy of just like taking it back to the roots. And yet, you know, do you find that lame or anything?
No, because it's not like, it would be lame if they made a record that like literally sounded like taking it back to the roots, you know. I think like what's happening here is like they're taking the mood maybe back to the roots, because I don't think the sound's anything at all like the roots, you know. Nobody was doing like the sort of like insane rhythms, and like, I mean, some of the tracks here, like the snare just gets like such a, you know, if you played this on a real drum, you know, you have to change the head, you know, when you finish, you know, just get such a workout, you know. I don't think anything like you know, in the past was doing that. And I think that is, you know, you spoiled your feelings. I didn't come to love this record, but it is like something I appreciate. And I think why I always have liked it more than Draft, and why I still do like it more than Draft, is like Draft, we talked about, it sort of felt like maybe a step back. Somewhat uninspired at all. Like here, this is just not my favorite, just because like maybe the sounds and the feeling aren't really 100% what I want from Autechre. But I would never claim that it's a step back or it's uninspired or any, you know, like they've done something different, which is always great. And I mean, I'm not even mad about it, because like with a band like Autechre or in any experimental thing, like that's what I want. I want them to experiment, and you're not going to like every experiment that someone does. You know what I mean?
Right. But we do want it to like be an experiment, like try something.
Yeah, exactly.
New,
you know? Exactly.
And you know, not to like, I just feel so bad about like constantly shitting on Draft, but it felt like a little bit of that and a little bit of not that, but this is, they went for it, I feel like. So listener Mike also says that Untilted has a more refined studio feeling than Autechre's later work, and their post-production work as producers really shines here. But listener Trond wrote to say that in contrast to Draft, which sounds like everything was programmed down to every last dot, Untilted sounds more performance-oriented, almost like a live album. It's similarly percussion-heavy and lacking in melody as Draft, but it has a more jamming feel to it while still sounding more static and mechanical. To me, it sounds like they have carefully prepared a bunch of sequences that they tweak, jam, and transition to and from in a sort of performance that starts off with LCC and then comes full circle with the recapitulating finale of Sublimit. So we know that everything was programmed here meticulously, but does it sound, you know, meticulously composed or jammed like a live performance?
You know, that's really like a hard question to answer. I was thinking about it like a lot today, because it maybe it's hard to answer because I know that it's programmed, but I mean, because parts of it do feel like very programmed. Like I think like a lot of those rhythms and stuff are so complicated that for it to not be programmed would be so hard. But I mean, you know, how everything's switching and changing so much, like that does sort of have like a jammy feel to it. In the sense that it's, you know, it's not staying the same kind of thing. But I think ultimately, I think it does. I think program wins out here.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm almost like on the other side because, you know, I know that it's programmed and I just am thinking constantly, like all through my notes here, I'm writing down like, how the fuck is this programmed? Like, what the hell? And, you know, there's stuff like on like Iera, for example, where there's kind of like this weird, I want to compare it to like a piano underwater or something. And it's like, it sounds like it's playing. Like, it sounds like a straight up performance. Like a human being is like playing notes. Because it's not like a loop or it's not repeating or anything. It's sort of like an actual like performance, and it, you know, slowly kind of like devolves and turns into this kind of droning thing and just gets like more and more distorted and stretched out. But I don't know, something like very human and played about it. And, you know, we were mentioning earlier how a lot of the record does have this kind of virtuoso quality of like, yeah, showing off, I think, kind of like Trond was saying, like performing and, you know, showing what we can do and showing just how many ways we can flip this thing. You know, we'll obviously talk about like Sublimit a lot later on, but it's just like the first like few minutes of that track just feel like, let me show you how many ways we can reassemble this, you know. And I think there's another, I can't remember which song it is, but there's, I think it's Fermium. There's like this kind of low, like this part where it's sort of this like bump, bump, bump thing starts repeating and it sort of slowly emerges out of the murk. And it has this weird quality of like, all of a sudden the track starts to reassemble itself around that idea. And it really makes me think of like the Grateful Dead or something, when like somebody does something and everybody's like, yeah, oh, that's cool, let's build around that. Like, I can't understand how they programmed that in. Maybe they jammed it a million times first and then wrote it out, or I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it could be that. And I mean, also, I sort of thought like, so, you know, like the piano thing you're talking about and stuff, like, you know, does it count as programming it if you like played that on a, you know, MIDI keyboard, record the MIDI, and then, you know, put that in your sequence and you know, mess with, you know, your original playing, like as the MIDI file. You know, I don't know if that counts as just mousing it or not. But
Right. Yeah, that's a good question, actually. I wanted to read an email from listener Espen, who said, I had seen them live in London in 2005 prior to Untilted's release, and I've never been to a better concert ever. In fact, I wanted to take this opportunity to say that I think probably for our next listener email episode, we'll talk about the famous 2005 Glasgow performance, part of which actually makes up our intro and outro music here. So look out for that. But Espen says, I feel that they transformed a lot of that energy into this album. We've been talking about that, circling around it, but yeah, it does sort of feel like it started out with the energy of a live performance and that they somehow figured out a way to program that.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of their records, you know, and I know we learn, you know, later on, you know, that the more recent records, you know, frequently are this way. But, you know, like, I think it makes sense for a musician to, like, you have to, you know, make a live set or something, like, for some of that to work its way into, you know, the recordings. But here, yeah, I mean, this, like, definitely, like, this seem, even though I, like I said, this isn't my favorite record or anything, this does really seem like it would be a, you know, fun era to see live, because it, it really does, like, feel like, you know, a live set. I mean, in fact, you know, all the AE live things that come out, they're all soundboards. And so, you know, they don't really, you can't hear crowd noise or anything. Like, honestly, you know, if this was just a soundboard, you know, kind of thing, like I could believe it, because it kind of has that you know, lack of space and stuff that you get with, you know, just the direct, you know, plug in sometimes and everything.
Yeah. You know, what do you make of the track structures here? Many listeners wrote us to praise the mutations these tracks undergo, like AT, who writes, one thing that stands out is the sense of progression in the songs. At their worst, some Autechre songs sound like they barely progress throughout the course of a track. Frequently, their tracks have more like a part A, part B kind of structure, where they change abruptly midway. On Untilted, the tracks tend to have a constant progressive flow. Some tracks go through three or four discernible sections. It gives the album a much more dynamic and flowing structure than found on their other releases. Listener Mike says that all of the tracks take the listener on a journey, and listener Surround Guitari notes that some tracks morph into something recognizable, others disintegrate, and still others are slowly going on big journeys. So What do you make of the, you know, structures of these, in 2005, shockingly long pieces?
I think we are getting like a different sort of structure than, you know, we get in Ottekker of the past, which is another, you know, thing I like about this record. You know, it's not a step back when you're doing something different, because, you know, the listener's right. I mean, a lot of the early Ottekker and, you know, and stuff, we've talked about it. A lot of it barely progresses. You know, it's very minimalist and very like repetitive, which is something I love. And I think that's maybe why I don't love this record as much, because it is like completely different from that. You know, it doesn't have that part A, part B kind of thing. It's got the part A, B, C, D, you know, E, F, G kind of thing. There's not that many times on this record where things are just like completely, these sections are completely repeating. I mean, like you talked about a little bit, like LCC, you know, right from the get go, you've got this. I think that song, you know, it starts very, very repetitive. You know, you've got this like same, you know, kind of snare pattern happening and happening and happening.
Right, right.
And you're kind of like, oh, you know, here you go, another, you know, Ottekker, you know, repetitive kind of thing. And then, you know, it starts to change, and by the end of that song, it's a completely different song. So much so, I found myself, like, while I was listening to it this week, I kept having to be like, you know, if I you know, lost track for a second, I'd be like, am I still in LCC? You know, have I
right,
gotten
right.
onto Ipatial yet? You know, like, it's almost... This is almost, you know, like when you listen to the whole record, it like really, it's almost kind of hard to tell, you know, what tracks, where a track ends and another track begins. Not in the sense that it's like a you know, concept album where they all flow together. It's just, it's changing so much. You don't notice when it's actually changing, you know,
because they like undergo such great changes. And like, you know, sometimes like on LCC, it kind of does do a part B part thing where it does like this very huge shift into something like totally different. You know, this, it sounds like it's very tightly wound, like, you know, these like clacks or these claps just like beating you in the face. And then it like suddenly opens up into this kind of almost hip hop ish swagger or something. And, you know, there's just like a embarrassment of melodies going on. But, you know, I was struck on that track by, there's kind of like this beeping, I don't know what to call it, like kind of a blippy beeping noise in all of that clatter. Mm. And if you listen closely, it's kind of like dancing around. Like sometimes it lines right up with the snare clacks, and other times it's like just kind of like bouncing around within this like crazy tangle of percussion. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that I feel like I was getting used to doing this chronological listen to Ottekker, is like hearing things dance around and start to like slowly become something. In fact, I think like Ipatial section, it sort of works like that, where it seems to like just slowly kind of, you know, it's all like twisted energy, like just blitz of blown out noise. And then it just kind of keeps like, I don't know, it keeps getting like tightened to where like the track is getting like more limited and more subdued by some like outside force or something. And it kind of like slowly stays on that course. But other tracks are just like changing on a dime every second, right? Like Sublimit to me sounds like I was listening to a track and then a different track started playing on top of that track. And now another different track is playing on top of that track, at least for the first half, like until it starts to like sort of deconstruct a little bit. Or like Pro Radi, I think is like, you know, brilliant in the sense that it, you know, it starts off, like I said, that kind of tumbling tom, like just insanity. And then it starts to like become something like kind of melodic and beautiful, and then that tumbling is like returning like as a little surprise, you know, or something, like the crowd noises and stuff start to like return as a little bit of a surprise. But, you know, I guess just the point is like it's striking how it's not like chiastic slide or something, or try repete, how it like grows and like slowly reveals some new section. It'll like change quite suddenly and like surprisingly 10 times in a track.
Yeah, and I think that sort of is a little bit of that live feel too. You know, I feel like that's the sort of thing, you know, maybe a DJ would do in a club, you know.
Right.
You just, you know, you don't want to have people, you know, building forever, you know, like sometimes you just got to switch it. So it does like, you know, feel like that kind of energy.
Yeah. So Sticking with the topic of process, several listeners wrote us to praise the use of hardware, and especially the Electron stuff on this album. What do you think of the instrumentation here, or like the sound design here? What about the simplicity of just a couple drum machines and a MIDI sequencer on some tracks, as Rob mentioned?
I mean, it's super impressive. I think it's like obvious that it's like samples and things, you know. I don't feel like here ever or frequently, at least, you know, like you hear a drum machine or something that you recognize. It all sort of seems like you know, sampled or their own things, or at least messed with. And you know, the Electron stuff is like that. You know, people always talk about like this Electron workflow and how it has like this it's, you know, sort of different than other things. Like I just bought my first like Electron, you know, sort of machine. So I've been kind of learning it myself, and it is like, you know, fairly different and all, but I can see from my limited experience, it feels very like messing with a computer. Like I do IT for my real job, and it like, I like it a lot because it sort of reminds me of that. And, you know, Autechre sort of feels like that. So
yeah,
it kind of, like, I'm glad I got that before this record, because it really, I feel like I understand, like, I was going to say I understand the program. I don't understand how, you know, it's took up. Right. I understand, like, the feeling of the programming, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think of, like, you know, we've often talked about, okay, this record is all about like sound design. Like, these are incredible new sounds that you've never heard before and they're going to blow your mind. And then, you know, other albums like LP5 or something, where it's like, this is a little bit more compositional. Like, there's not a lot of sound design here that you've never heard before. But where do you think Untilted falls, like, on the sound design scale?
I think the sounds themselves are sort of like not going to blow your mind. You know, I think most of the time, you know, you could tell this is the snare, you know, this is the, you know, whatever, yeah, kind of thing. But it's definitely like, I think the way those are put together are kind of things you've not heard before. But it's not like, it's not in its own sort of world, you know. I mean, like, we've already discussed the, it like reminds me and stuff of Breakcore and Venetian snares and all that, you know. I think a lot of you know, later Autechre and stuff that we'll talk about, I never really have like, this sounds like this, or, you know, another example kind of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of two minds, because on one hand, I'm really impressed with the sound design in the sense that there are, you know, I praised like Seafern on Confield for just how bizarre it is that it always sounds like too loud, that, you know, the kind of beat is like, it's always making you jump because it's just like hitting you. And there are a lot of sounds here that have that same kind of quality that I'm just so impressed by. Like, how the fuck do you do that? Like, how does LCC, like, it's making me flinch when that, like, mm-hmm, you know, and lots of cases like that where it's just drilling into my head, the enormous toms on Pro Radii, or like the, you know, just kind of, I don't even know how to describe a lot of these things, which is to the album's credit. But like, so some of the sounds I'm just like really impressed, and also impressed sometimes by, like, there is kind of like a jittery frenetic energy to this record, as a lot of the listeners have mentioned. But I kind of feel like, if you played me just one note, like, you know, if they were just like working on, you know, Iera or really any track, and they were just like, here's what the snare sounds like, what do you think? I feel like it would sound fast, like just the one note, you know, click. I would be like, damn, that sounds like a fast, like, why does that sound so fast, even though I've only just heard one? Every sound on this record has like a speed inherently to it. So all of that is like really impressive, I think, from a sound design level. On the other hand, we've sort of alluded to this, but there's something kind of like traditionalist and like returning to the roots about even just the sound of this record for me, where it almost kind of seems like the language of traditional electronic music, the language of like old school hip hop or something, but just utterly reconfigured, you know?
Yeah. I mean, to both of your points, I think what you said about the samples is sort of right. You know, they do seem fat. You know, there's always like this, you know, very quick attack, you know, very little right, like decay kind of thing in it. And then, you know, you're right. It's sort of like the language of electronic music. It's almost like, you know, you think of like you know, English, the way it was spoken in 1776 is you know, it's the same palette that we use today. You know, it's like some of the words are the same and stuff, but you know, it's different, you know what I mean? And maybe yeah. that's too close, but you know, this is, you know, the language of electronic music, but you know, 3000 years in the future or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just kept thinking like at the end of Augmatic Disport, like when it turns into that kind of like chilled out traditional groove, and it just sounds like some sort of like, I don't know, 808 groove or something. And, you know, hearing that, it just made me think back through the rest of the song and think like, you know what, honestly, none of these sounds themselves would have sounded out of place on like an old school track, like mm-hmm. the end of this song. It's just that they've been like so wildly reconfigured, or like
it's the sequencing. Sublimate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like sublimate. It just sounds like a bunch of drum machines, you know, and it's got sort of like a, you know, because of that, it gives it that like kind of old school hip hop feel of just like, just, you know, obviously not, but just one drum machine. Like that's all I need. You know, it's got like that kind of simplicity to it. And I feel like that's just, I don't know, very impressive with what they do with it. We got a lot of interesting comments about the mixing here, or maybe the production more generally. Listener Andy says, I feel like certain sounds are so dry and most of the mix is center panned. On a sound design level, I feel it feels more like a step back from the 4K HD experience of Confield and Draft. I also think the actual range of frequencies is a bit limited at times, where we don't get those booming subs and piercing high frequencies that added color and texture to the last two releases. Listener Jeff says, I wish it was a bit more balanced with drum/synth. There are definitely some nice synth pads mixed in there, but they are just too quiet. Similar to what you both mentioned with Draft, where the melody is effectively just played on the drums, this seems to be taken to the utmost extreme on Untilted, with all the tune drums playing what would have otherwise been the main synth line. I like it more now, but there are still times when the ultra dry drum barrage just kind of annoys me on some songs, like the beginning of LCC and Augmatic Disport. On the other hand, listener Surround Guitari says, what stands out most to me with this album is how dry it is. There is none of the deep, dark, echoing concrete depths of Confield or the woody, mysterious jungle of noise a la Draft. Sounds are given much more room to breathe, and there is very little of the gigantic reverb of the last two albums, which makes the melodic aspects of this one stand out more. You don't expect something so potent and emotional like the breathy pad on Ipatial Section, and even when a sound is allowed to ring out like the echoing noise at the end of LCC, it's great because it's almost shocking to your ears. So what do you think of all that? Whose side are you on there?
I think I would side more with the first group there. Mm. You know, it is like very you know, dry, very like the synth things. I feel like when you almost have to be listening in headphones to like hear some of those synths, you know, and almost like looking for them. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. I think it's sort of cool, you know. Again, like it's sort of taking that melody played on the percussion kind of thing of Draft, and I think doing it better, doing it more interesting at least. But I mean, like I said too, this isn't my favorite album, and it does sort of get annoying. I mean, you know, he talked about the beginning of LCC. I'll say it now, that's my least favorite song. That's maybe my least.
Wow.
I know, because I know everyone loves that one, but it's maybe my least favorite Ah Tucker song, at least to this point.
Oh
even.
Oh my god!
First off, this is gonna sound real, you know. I don't know, but I my least favorite drum pattern of all time is the one that is the begin. You know, the da 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 da. I hate that snare pattern.
Wow.
In any music, you know, electronic or rock or otherwise.
Totally irrational, but okay.
Totally irrational, but you know, it's like your you know, little conspiracy theories. I can have drum beats that annoy me.
Yeah.
But it annoys the shit out of me, and the sound of that snare is so like annoying.
Wow.
And just like, I don't know, so like bright, and I don't know, it's really displeasing to my ears.
Wow.
So I think I really you know, that's kind of a lot of the reason why I can't fall in love with this record, is because a lot of times the sounds themselves, you know, the drum sounds and stuff without that reverb and all, it just some, especially in headphones, it just sometimes, I mean, it almost is like a, you know, a dental drill or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm firmly on the surround guitar-y side of this, what I just read, in that, you know, I think it's absolutely delightful how it is like very dry, quite claustrophobic. I mean, it feels like everything is playing at hyperspeed, like everything is like squashed together and just like so, you know, tightly wound. And then it always kind of like opens up in these breathtaking ways. I mean, I think like LCC, that it's certainly like abrasive and confrontational, like the way that snare is going. And then it opens up and it like becomes like just this gorgeous groove, I think. And it makes me like appreciate the contrast between the two parts of the song, you know, to the point where like when I'm listening to the beginning, I'm just like, fuck yeah, like I can't wait for it to change. Not like in a bad way, but just like I love how this track transforms from the most like a drill in my head into just this like beautiful, like I said earlier, embarrassment of melodies. Lots of tracks, they open up like that, and in the terms of, you know, reverb, they use it so sparingly here, but they use it powerfully. It's like everything is so dry, and then when you hear some kind of like, you know, I'm trying to think of a good example, but you hear some kind of like big spacious sound, you know, it's just like an Augmatic Dysport, there's this weird kind of like very lush synth chord thing going on like underneath. And you know, I agree with the listener who says like you got to listen closely to hear them, like they're pretty low in the mix. But what you hear is like something that's just creating so much space mixed in this very dry synthetic thing. I love like there are lots of sounds like on Ipatial, where there's like these kind of glass tube type sounds. I don't know how to describe it, but they sound like a physical object in the real world, and yet they're totally woven into something that sounds utterly synthetic, like it couldn't exist anywhere. It has no reverb, no sense of scale or size. And then, you know, you transition right into Pro Radii with like these huge toms. Like, how do I know they're huge? Reverb, I guess, but they just sound big as hell. And, you know, I love how it's like, it just goes from dry to wet, and like how they're just feeding that in. You kind of know what I mean? Like, it makes like a very weird, disorienting experience. Like, I know that's a physical object, but nothing else is.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with you. They do sparingly use the reverb, and I think, like you said, use it powerfully when they do. I just like the first listener said, you know, they sort of like they're limiting the frequencies here. I feel like we're very frequently just in the, you know, the mid kind of ranges and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to explain because I think everything they've done here is like done well. It's just, and this is my problem with the whole record. And the whole record, I think, done well on paper, I love it. But it's just, I don't really want to listen to it as much, if that makes sense.
Wow.
Whereas, like, Draft, I felt like there were significant, like, problems with the record itself, you know, like the step back kind of feeling. I don't feel that at all here on Untilted. I just want to make sure like people, you know, get me understood here. I don't feel that at all. It's just like I personally like these aren't the sounds I want to hear, and I think that's why this sort of is like a bit of a divisive record, because I think with you know, there's definitely some division with Draft and all, but I think, you know, some, at least sort of the consensus is that, you know, we weren't far off the base here. But I get like with Untilted, I feel like you're either gonna love it, you know, it's what you're looking for, or it's maybe not.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I get what you mean, but it is what I'm looking for, just for the record. This might be a good time to bring up the artwork, which was once again designed by Alex Rutherford. Surround Guitar writes, "The dryness and silence in between the folds of the sputtering drum loops is the character of this album, and that's why I personally believe the album art, what I believe the album art to be alluding to. There's a large monochrome section on the left, like a big resounding silence, while the angular, glitchy insanity of the drumming on the right of the artwork manages to stand out even more because of the space it's allowed to breathe in." What do you think of the artwork? Do you think it's fitting for the sound in that way?
I like the artwork here. You know, again, I wasn't a big fan of Draft's artwork. I thought Draft, you know, sort of seemed like early 2000s CGI, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like the artwork here on Untilted, it reminds me much more of like the Gantz Graff video, which I liked a lot and was also done by the same artist and stuff. I'm usually more of a fan of the Designer Republic artwork with Odd-Tekker, but I really do like this one. I think it's sort of colors that we don't really get, you know, with Odd-Tekker too much. You know, we there's a lot of black and white or just, you know, monochromatic kind of things. But here, you know, we've got this mix of blues and yellows and whites, and you even sent me like some of the unused like artwork, and I actually retweeted it because an account we follow happened to tweet them the other day, so I just I retweeted them, so people can see that on our Twitter. But you know, those pictures were even like, you know, they would have made a nice insert or something, you know, like they the whole thing just is really great. I really like the art here. You know, it's got like a it's got a digital feel, like the record, but it doesn't look like overtly, you know, CGI or anything. You know, it's still, it almost like, if it wasn't for like the sort of like 3D feel of it, I think like it could just look like a actual, you know, drawing. You know, it doesn't like necessarily, it's same way the record sort of is, you know, like it has this feeling of like a human doing it, but like with these, you know, maybe sounds or shapes that aren't human kind of thing.
Yeah. You're sort of making me realize saying that, actually, that part of what I like about this record is like, I don't know, maybe what I don't like about Draft, it's like, what do you do? Like after Confield, it's like, and actually the couple albums even before Confield, it was like every album, every reviewer is like, wow, even more digital. Like, wow, even more, you know, mm-hmm. they've gone even further down the digital rabbit hole. It's like, how far can you really go? And like The Wire is criticizing them for like not going any farther, but it's like,
where do
like
you go?
It's going to be diminishing returns at this point. And I kind of like that they like pulled back and used like a different sound palette, like not a, you know, racing into the digital unknown sound palette. But on the subject of the artwork, you know, I like what Surround Guitari says here about like, it does stand out because it is, you know, if you took away that like graphic on the front, it would just be one of Odd-Tekker's classic monochrome like covers. And yet there's like this huge splash of color there. And it really does stand out for that fact. And it really works the fact that it's like off to the side. But I also do kind of like that splash of color in the sense of, I wonder what you think about this, but like, there's kind of like a cartoony character to this album a little bit. Like there's something about the use of color on the album art that makes me think of pop art or something. It's funny that we were just talking about Noi on the last bonus episode, you know, and how important pop art was to them. But you know, like there's something about this record, like there's sounds that like make you think of like, what do you call those things? Door stoppers, you know, they're like, boy,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Or, you know, just stuff like what, like the sound of when Bugs Bunny's smoking a cigar and it blows up in his face or something, like, you know, and his head's like whirling around, you're like, woo, 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 you know, and like, there's something like, do you agree with that? There's like some sort of like a cartoony sound palette to this record.
Yeah, I could see that. There are some like sort of, you know, things you would maybe call silly. Even in that 2005 like interview we talked about, you know, the Pitchfork one, the interviewer, I don't have it in front of me, but he mentions like a specific sound. I think it was during Sublimit. And he says like, that's funny. That's a funny sound.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like, and he asked, about, you know, their sense of humor and everything. And then, Rob like goes on to say that, you know, he thought that was funny, but he said, but they thought this sound was even funnier, you know, kind of, which is, you know, sort of a cartoony thing. And I agree. Like the cover art itself, like, it almost looks like a deconstructed like cartoon, you know. Especially that, like, you know, this isn't an art podcast, but you know, like that like yellow streak that's in it is like, I don't know, it's such like a pop art line kind of thing, and I don't know, it's like my favorite part of the cover, and I think it is that like, it gives it that sort of cartoony feel.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of what I like about the artwork and why I do think it's very fitting. And actually, kind of one of my favorite things about the sound here is how like wild and zany it is. let's stick with the topic of difficulty for a minute. Listener Jeff talked at length about his continued struggles with this album, and I thought this was a very interesting comment from listener Joe. He says, it's almost like the sonic equivalent of eggnog, although it's one of my favorite tasting drinks. It's so intensely rich and sweet that I'm more than happy drinking it just a few times each year around Christmas, and then looking forward to having it again next year. I listen to Untilted once or twice a year, and each time I go through it, it blows my mind all over again, and I think it might be their best album, but by the beginning of Sublimate, I'm starting to feel relieved that the experience will soon be over. As much as I enjoy it, I can't imagine having to listen to it multiple times a day for weeks. I'm worried that I would end up driving myself off a bridge eventually. I can't wait to hear what your experience was having to listen to it so many times in a short period, and I certainly hope that it's gone better than I imagine it would for me. So, you know, we'll talk about how it went for you a little later, but maybe you can spoil it a bit. But what do you think of that?
Yeah, maybe that's a great analogy, because don't you like eggnog?
I love eggnog.
Yeah, see, I hate it. I hate eggnog.
So maybe I could drink it all year.
God, disgusting. maybe this is the eggnog of albums.
Perhaps.
You know, I don't want to drink any eggnog at all. I've talked about it before, you know, with many of the records that we've listened to, you know, so far on the podcast, I find myself like looking forward to keeping them on repeat. You know, this has not been like a laborious, show to do for the most part. Untilted, and maybe it was because we had 3 weeks of it, you know, instead of our normal two, but I did sort of like have to be like, oh yeah, you gotta make sure you're listening to Untilted. You know, I sort of like had to discipline myself more than I normally would. Especially like kind of in the car. It's funny, you know, he mentioned driving off a bridge, because it was like sort of really not fun to listen to in the car. like luckily I only drive like 10 minutes to work, 15 if you know, I get behind a school bus or something, but you know, so I don't get it too long, but you know, it wasn't like the kind of record I wanted to listen to over and over. I think what he said, like, you know, once or twice a year, which is always sort of like how I've listened to this record in the past, like really is like kind of how I feel about it. You know, I don't hate it in any respect, you know. It's just like I don't, at the end of this episode, I'm going to be done with it for a while.
Yeah. I mean, I get what you mean. I get what Joe means. You know, I can clearly hear that quality of it, that it is like this kind of barrage that maybe you can't listen to over and over again. But yeah, personally, I feel like fine listening to it over and over again. I mentioned this earlier, but it's like when LCC starts and it's like trying to, you know, knock my head off, or like Augmatic Disport, I think is like the craziest, you know, most insane beginning for several minutes. I mean, I used to kind of like dread that track, and I would be like, well, I can't wait till it kind of opens up a little bit in the middle and then goes to that nice ending. But I started to be like, yes, this part is crazy, but I can't wait for the journey I'm about to go on. Like I simultaneously recognize that this is a little annoying on purpose, but when I hear that like opening, you know, just like, I'm like, oh, this is going to be so much fun. Like, this is 10 minutes. It's just going to be a blast. So I get it, but you know, I feel differently at the same time. Before we get into our favorite tracks, let's talk just a minute about how Untilted relates to Autechre's previous work. We've kind of touched on this a bit already, but several listeners wrote us to say that they see Confield, Draft, and Untilted as a trilogy. Though listener Jordan compared the record to Tri Repete, saying they are both heavily rhythmic and beat-focused with very crisp glitchiness. Their styles are very precise and machine-like. On the other hand, listener Joe calls it a complete left turn to an incredibly intense rhythmic mind fuck. So which is it? Which of these is it?
You know, I get what people think with the trilogy thing, because, you know, we've sort of done it ourselves in like calling this, you know, the Autechre mid period. And maybe, you know, I would probably add Choristus in there. So maybe it's a quadrilogy. But I think like they sort of get lumped in there because this almost feels like the period of Autechre's career where they're like least defined, in the sense that like each record is like sort of a different thing. It's like I think like when you from Oversteps onward, you know, to today, like you can sort of like it's easy to group those together in like just kind of being like batshit experimental like kind of thing. You know, the earlier stuff, you've got your melody still, you're more, you know, quote normal, you know, kind of music. But here in this middle, it's almost like it's looking for a home, you know. It's not exactly all together, which is sort of the, you know, opposite of a trilogy, you know, kind of thing. But I get the grouping of those records, because I definitely group them in my mind, but not in the sense that I think they sound the same. Like I don't think this record sounds anything like Confield or even feels like it. I mean, it's honestly kind of the opposite. You know, Confield, I think like kind of lacks energy at times and stuff, whereas like Untilted is a ball of energy. And then I mean, I guess I can see like more of a relation to Draft in here, but you know, like he also said Trirepite. I mean, in the sense that it's the same band doing it, you know, like I think you can, no matter how experimental Autechre gets, or you know, pretty much any band, you could still see like the it's hard to like completely step outside of your own you know, talents and things and completely, you know, sound 100% different always. So I think always going to be like those little, you know, monikers that pop up.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I like the Trirepite comparison because it does have that really crisp glitchiness. And you know, this was almost the first time since Trirepite, I harped on this a lot on that episode, but that there were times where I felt like my like equipment was malfunctioning, you know, instead of I was listening to a song, which I like, because, you know, how close and how like, you know, direct plugged in these sounds are, like you were saying earlier, it really just does sound like your equipment is like, you know, when one of these like totally frantic tracks starts, you're like, oh shit, like something is fucked up. And that's exciting to me, and I hadn't really heard that since Trirepite, or they didn't really like seem to embrace that as much until since Trirepite. You know, when it comes to like Draft, the album that precedes this one, I mentioned on the episode how a lot of Draft sounded like it was like very tightly wound, like it was about to snap or something, and I found myself feeling that same way about this record, even though it doesn't sound anything like Draft to me otherwise. You know, I just had that same kind of feeling of like, this is about to break. But as far as like I think I agree with you about like this sort of period. It's something like a lost period to me, or like wandering in the wilderness period, where they seem to like not be entirely sure what direction to go, or their identity isn't so clearly defined, as you said. And we sort of speculated like maybe they were, I don't know, they got a little thrown off by the poor reception to Confield. But on the other hand, it could be that they were so proud of Confield, they didn't know how to follow it. Like that's equally possible. Mm-hmm. Right. And in my opinion, it's just like Untilted is like the proper follow-up to Confield. Like I just feel like it is as inventive and inspired as Confield was, and as Draft is not. And in fact, you know, I just want to highlight like on Draft, like you've got these tracks like Theme of Sudden Roundabout or something, or like V-Proc. They sound like they're trying to be bangers, and that the only way that they know how to do that at that moment is to like imitate, you know, kind of like a traditional song structure and like bring a real drum kit in there and like do some cool start stop stuff that just sounds like a little, I don't know, tired. Here, like Ipatial Section is a fucking banger. Mm-hmm. It is like an undisputable banger, but it doesn't sound anything like anything I've ever heard, you know? I mean, like, there's so many tracks in here that I would describe as bangers, but I don't even know how to compare to any other form of music or anything. And that's how I feel like Confield is the low key thing, like you said. And this is kind of like using that same spirit of inventiveness to make something fun and make something, you know, make these bangers, but do it in like an utterly original way. So that was a lot, but that's the long and short of how I feel like it ties to Autechre's discography. Here's an email from listener Stylus, who says, Untilted distinguishes itself from Confield and Draft for me by being so beat heavy, even less concerned with melodies than either of those two releases, and yet more accessible on initial listens because of its immediately captivating textures. While we are still investigating extraterrestrial landscapes here with this album, the atmospheres here are more welcoming and rewarding for me. So I kind of want to bring this up because you mentioned LCC, the very first track, hating it so much, Do you feel like this is a inviting and welcoming album?
I think, like I said, I hate that drum beat, and then I don't like the sound of the drum. But I know everyone kind of loves that song, so I wouldn't say for me, no, it's not inviting because of that. But I think maybe for the normal person, and I mean that in a nice way, it may be, you know.
Yeah. It's weird. I mean, I would describe like Draft as pretty beat heavy. We talked a lot about that. It's like a almost purely percussion album, and yeah, this does feel like just a more, I mean, it's like so different, but it does feel like a more inviting, at least for me, kind of version of that. All right, let's move on to your favorite tracks. But first, I want to quiz you. What four tracks do you think are bolded here?
Probably LCC, Sublimit, maybe Ipatial.
Yep.
Oh, four. And Fermium.
Nope. Pro Radii.
I almost said that one.
Close, but no cigar. But yeah, those are, I mean, these are like the longest tracks here. These are like almost like the juggernauts. But what are your favorites here?
I think, obviously Sublimit is really great. I really like Pro Radii. I like that sort of like really blown out kind of sound that happens throughout it and everything. Yeah. I think those would be my two favorites. What about you?
Yeah, I weirdly like Augmatic Disport most, maybe. It's like the most punishing, like I was saying, track, but then the most rewarding. I mean, I love like that. I can't get over like that weird, like super lush synth. And I don't want to spoil things, but I feel like you hear that pop up on Choristus a bit. And but here it's like very deep down in the background. And you're listening and like you're listening to absolute chaos and you're trying to figure out, you know, once this thing starts to emerge, like what does that even belong here? Is that like playing from a different song or something, that like lush, beautiful synth pad melody? And then the track starts to like evolve and change and like kind of chill out and it still doesn't fit. And then the track turns into like this cool electro 808 banger and it still doesn't fit. And you're like, what the fuck was that? And I don't know. There's just something like so amazing about like, I'm listening so closely. I also love like, you know, the trees has like a similar kind of effect where there's like this weird, I can't get over the sound, like this weird droning kind of thing. It sounds like, at first it sounds like, you know, like they left like a YouTube video playing like in the room where they were recording or something. And you're like, what is that thing back there? And then eventually it takes over the track, like the whole track becomes it, and it's like something like, it could be static or it could be they left a window open and you can hear the street, like a busy street below, or it could be like an orchestra tuning. I don't know what it is, but it's like, I love how when you're listening to the track, you're like, I'm like zooming in on that thing and trying to figure out what it is, and then they eventually show it to me wide open and I still don't know what the fuck it is.
Yeah, no, that is great. I don't think it's a YouTube video though, because this came out the year before YouTube existed.
Right. Yeah. So we can roll that theory out.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, we got lots of praise for LCC, Ipatial, Pro Radii, and Sublima, all the tracks that are bolded on Rate Your Music, all the juggernauts. Listener Mike praised each of these, but wrote, Pro Radii is a standout track for me. The beginning is so murky, like track two from Draft, but it just opens to this electro-style rhythm. It brings a listener into this live area or room where it sounds like there are drums literally everywhere. Also, the conclusion of the track is stunning, where it has this Tilapius type of turning point towards the end, where the track morphs into the closing section. This track is probably in my top five Autechre tracks. Mike also says that he's never felt like Sublima was 15 minutes long, and listener Jeff likewise says, Sublima is just outrageously good. They will obviously play with 15-plus minute and much longer songs later as they go, but as their first foray into a long track, this one absolutely earns its length. It never gets too repetitive, and it just takes you on this nice journey. Want to quickly read some comments from Sean himself, who says, and I should clarify, Sean from Autechre, not listener Sean who's written this before, who says, I see that LCC transition as a bit like a dream where you drive off a cliff and you find yourself flying. And he says, Sublimit is better considered as serious, just buoyant maybe. So a lot of people finding Sublimit funny, but Sean does not. So any thoughts on that? I feel like we haven't really like, you know, dove into what makes Sublimit great.
I think it is like the first, you know, I mean, obviously, up to this point, it was the longest track. And I think it really is like maybe the thing that showed them that they have the ability to, you know, play with that length of song and longer, and it not get just repetitive. Or, I mean, because there's plenty of things in, you know, the earlier Ottekker that were, you know, so repetitive that like you could have made that song 15 minutes or 30 minutes or something, but it would get annoying, you know. Here, you know, like I think like the listener said, it never really like feels like 15 minutes, you know. You know, it doesn't. It kind of like, honestly, you know, I had been listening to the record, and you know, I don't pay that much attention to the track lengths, you know, the actual written times. And then I was reading through our little whatever it's called here, and you said that it was the longest song so far, and I really, you know, I had to think for a second. Oh, you know, man, yeah, that's right. The song is really long, and we haven't had that happen yet. But I think it just really shows that they can keep something interesting for a long amount of time. And the way it just like moves around so much, I feel like it even there's almost like moments where it like very, very quickly like quotes things from the record, you know, like it happened early. Like I can never like tell if I'm making it up in my mind, but I just feel like sometimes, you know, and it'll be such a, you know, a quick little sound or something, and I'll be you know, I'll just think like, oh, was that from another track of this record, absolutely, you know, or something, which I think is really cool, especially in a closing track. It really, I think one of the other listeners said it like really comes full circle in here, and it really does. It's like, you know, it would be corny to just like very obviously like replay something as like a, you know, reprise kind of thing to tie it all together, but it like really just feels like almost a sample of a sample from a song, you know, kind of thing, which is really cool.
Yeah, I had the same feeling, actually. There were like points where I was like, is that like one of the drums from Pro Rata, or like, mm-hmm. you know, and that is kind of cool. I mean, it's Sublimate is kind of illustrative of what's so cool about this album in comparison to Draft for me, which is like, we mentioned how there are a couple tracks here that they kind of grow, they become something totally different, but there are other tracks that just deconstruct slowly over the course of the piece. And, you know, this one kind of does that, but unlike on Draft, where that was like a sort of overused trick and it just didn't really do anything, it just sort of falls apart, here it like feels purposeful, like it's breaking down so that it can become something new, right? So like every layer of Ipatial section, you know, it breaks down further and further, but like each new layer is like something very interesting. And Sublimate does the same thing, where it's like for the first couple of minutes I mentioned, how it feels like it keeps building up or something, like you keep like hearing like new like drum layers are like added on top or something, but then it just starts to like weirdly break down for a very long time. Like it just gets like minimal and minimal. And this is like a great example of that kind of like light touch of reverb that I was talking about earlier, where you get this like weird, like I don't know, like a submarine ping or something that is like so reverbed out and it is like so buried down as this thing sort of like disintegrates. And I started to think, right? Like I started, this is like my overthink it for the episode, but like Sublimate kind of teaches you how to listen to this album, in my opinion, in the sense that if you listen to it kind of like you're descending deeper and deeper into this track and like slowly hearing like little pieces. So like it's cool at the beginning, like how there's like this kind of crazy stomping, you know, digital drum set. It's almost like a firing squad or something. Like it's very mechanical and like very jittery. And you start to hear these like kind of shards of melodic sounds. And then you like kind of go lower where you can no longer hear like those bright sounds anymore. And now you hear like this weird kind of like little melodica blast, and you can hear like even less drums and there's like more space. And I just feel like I'm like looking up, you know, I'm descending underwater. I'm like looking up and I can like see a little bit of melody up there, but it's like fading or something. And I just started to think like, okay, if you think about every track, like you're kind of going just deeper into it. Like all these layers are happening all the time, but you don't always hear them. They're subliminal, if you will.
Oh,
you know, every piece of this track is playing all at once, but you're only at one certain level at this moment. So that's all you're hearing at this point. And then I started to like overthink it even more in the sense of like this kind of old school sound. I think Sublimit has a particularly kind of old school sound. There's like very like hip hop kind of like little melodic noise blasts and stuff going on. And like that little like blast of melodica that comes in here and there is like, I don't know, very old school feeling to me. And I just started to think of like, I don't know, if this is like just a celebration of DJ music, then maybe what they're saying is like, all of this complexity is buried deep beneath like all of your favorite old school 80s, like Mantronic songs or something. It's like, you just got to listen close enough. What do you think of that?
Yeah. You know, I think there's some truth to it, especially like the last thing you just said there. You know, there is sort of like that, like we said, like they're sort of using that palette, but in just, a different kind of way. And I like what you said about like the layers, you're always just sort of hearing like one or another of that. And, you know, the title Sublimit, it makes me think of like subliminate, which is to like go from a solid directly to a gas, you know, skipping a liquid, you know, like that's what dry ice does. And it really like sort of the way like these tracks, kind of will jump and change, like really like sort of, and that song in particular, like really does start to seem like sublimination, to me.
Yeah, that's, I like that too, actually. We also received some praise for some of the shorter tracks here. Jeff calls Iera a nice little gem, and Mike directed us to an unofficial video of Fermium, directed by Nancy Mitchell, that AE have apparently endorsed. I couldn't like find you know, confirmation that they endorsed it, and we're like, sure, that'll be the official video from here on out. But did you watch that video, and what did you think of that?
Yeah, I watched it. It sort of seemed like someone's, you know, art school film project. It's just like two ladies like doing, you know, quote unquote weird stuff. They had like oranges that she was putting in a gas tank and then stealing someone's food. It's like, I don't know, it just seemed like a student film kind of thing. It was, you know, it was all right for that, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I feel like you could have put any track over the
top
of that.
Exactly. It didn't seem to have anything to like actually do with the music or anything.
Yeah. But it did kind of remind me, this is like something I like to do, which is like to watch, I like to watch silent films while listening to Autechre. And then it's just like, sometimes it lines up in a cool way. Like there'll be like some weird dance scene or something. And like, they're all dancing to Autechre, you know, and it just sort of like works in a cool and exciting way. So I guess it has that going for it. Every once in a while, there's a neat scene that works out well. You know, I want to ask you what you think the weak points are, but I think we could kind of start with, you know, what do you make of those shorter tracks? I feel like we haven't talked about them as much. I don't think anybody talks about them as much. It's kind of a weird album in the sense that you get like Juggernaut, 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 and then like a bunch of shorter things, and then you end on the last Juggernaut, and they get overlooked a little bit. I mean, what do you make of those?
I feel like they get overlooked. I mean, I found myself even kind of doing it. Like, Iera, you know, the fifth track, I feel like that song just really kind of gets lost here. You know, it's the one, it's the one I have like the hardest time like recalling exactly, you know, which one that is. I liked Fermium kind of more. I thought that one is like pretty fun and kind of like a real good just dance song here on the record. The trees kind of gets you know, lost in the woods a little bit for me. A little bit too, you know, less so than Iera, but you know, yeah, this is sort of a weird record in the sense that like those three are you know, jammed together. I should have looked, but I'm not sure how it spaces out on an LP. But I guess by this point, you know, we're sort of, the CD, I guess, is kind of the definitive edition, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and it's a pretty insanely long record. Like, it's 70 minutes. I can't remember for sure, but it's one of the longest Autechre records, I think, up to this point. So, yeah, it would probably be divided in a pretty awkward way on LP.
I got it here. So all the short ones are on the C side of the record, which would be the first side of the second disc.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes a certain amount of sense then, actually.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you have any Weak points. I mean, you mentioned hating LCC. Anything else you absolutely hate here?
Nothing I absolutely hate. Yeah, LCC is definitely my low point. Like I said, I think it may be my least favorite Ottekker song in general. Otherwise, I don't think anything's particularly bad. I think it's just forgettable. Like Iera, I think is just basically forgettable.
Yeah. I mean, there's something about like the flow of the record that does make you kind of like lose track of particularly these three tracks, Iera, Fermium, and The Trees. And I think that's unfortunate because they're all cool songs. And actually, I really like Iera, like most out of these three for sure. I think it's very cool. And I mentioned like just being fascinated by the weird sound world of The Trees. You know, I guess I would say Fermium is like the least memorable track for me, but I still think it's great. And I wouldn't remove it by any stretch. Listener Espen wrote us to say, Fermium is a great track, but maybe my least favorite if I have to choose one from this great album. I guess I'm basically in the exact same boat. Listener AT says, well, Untilted is one of my favorite albums. I feel like the last two tracks are almost unnecessary. They don't do anything for me or add much to the album, in my opinion. The album could have ended with Fermium and it would have been great. It seems a lot of people love Sublimate, but I don't see what makes it special, especially when compared to the rest of the album. That is a hot take. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's a hot take. I find it hard to agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, Sublimate is just so awesome. It's, you know, like we said, it kind of like in a weird sound world way, like kind of wraps up the whole thing and makes this whole record feel like one cohesive piece, even though it's kind of been all over the place. You know, it's kind of a brilliant trick there. And I also just feel like you absolutely need to end on a juggernaut. And this is like one hell of a juggernaut. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously like the longest Ottekker track up to this point, but it's just like, there's something about the like stretched out quality of this record that if you just ended on a couple short tracks, I think that would be incredibly awkward, not to mention how good Sublimate actually is. So, you know, we've kind of talked about the overall flow probably enough here about how maybe it is a little weird with all the juggernauts up front, but we got an email from listener Stylist who says, I don't think sequencing is more crucial to any Ottekker release than it is in Untilted. Messing with the track order on this thing at all, even if it's just switching any of the middle tracks placing on the album, completely demolishes the flow in my opinion, and at the risk of sounding even more pretentious, I would go so far as to compare Ipatial section to the second movement of Beethoven's Seventh Symphony. Wow. It builds to a crescendo of its own, of course, and it's a wonderfully immersive standalone track to listen to outside of the album's context, but with the album's context, it's downright spiritual for me. Going right into the hectic basketball game audio of Pro Radai right after that transcendent magic is such a magnificent transition, and that's just one example. The different sections of Sublimate and how they too complement one another so well serve as a parallel to the album's progression as a whole. So what do you think about that? We sometimes have complained, like Draft kind of felt like you could have just shuffled that thing and it wouldn't really matter much. But do you think this is like really tightly sequenced record?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think it's so like cohesive that like maybe it's just like all the songs, because the songs like switch so much, you know, it like really, like I said earlier in the episode, like you don't notice the like track switching, you know, when right. It's actually a new track. But, you know, I didn't try it. I never try it, you know, on shuffle or anything. I almost wish I had this time, because I do like sort of wonder, like, is it just like, do I not notice the track, you know, changes because it is so well sequenced? Or is it just, you know, the record is so, you know, frantic and frenetic that, you know, you wouldn't notice in whatever order. But I think like you sort of alluded to, like I think it's really important that Sublimate is the last thing, you know, ending on that juggernaut is I think so important, especially when you've you know, bookended it with the juggernauts up at the front. And then, you know, I think like having all those smaller tracks, you know, pushed together is a little strange, but, you know, looking at the vinyl track list, I think that makes it make sense, you know, and everything. Yeah. So I think I would agree that, you know, the sequencing is possibly important here. But I do sort of wish I had shuffled it to be sure.
Yeah, I kind of always do that, actually. I always just like try to listen to the album on shuffle a couple times, partly because I'm just trying to, like, you know, it's not so easy with Autechre, but I'm trying to, like, remember which song is which exactly, you know, and if I listen on shuffle, it kind of forces
me. It's like
a
quiz. Yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, but I didn't do it on this record, and I feel like that's actually because of how perfectly it's sequenced. Like, I felt no desire at any moment to even try what it would be like on shuffle. So I kind of agree with Stylus here. I also wanted to kind of mention that Troy Repetay uses the same sequencing trick, where it's, like, a bunch of juggernauts up front, and then, you know, as if they, like, you know, they kind of feel like, well, we can't do this forever, so we'll kind of zip you through a bunch of shorter ones and then lead you to the big crescendo. And it sort of worked perfectly there, and I think it kind of works perfectly here. It would be hard, obviously, if every track was 10 minutes long, but it would be hard if, like, you know, two-thirds through the album, you, like, had to gear up for, like, another 10-minute thing. You know, it kind of just, like, ushers you into Sublimate, yeah, which I think works really well. Okay, so we're coming up to the end here. I want to ask you about the context of Untilted. We always try to talk about the context a little bit. It seems to me like we're still sort of in the dark period of purely electronic music, where, you know, like, electronics continue to be a staple of indie music, with, like, debuts from LCD Sound System and MIA this year, I noticed. But by 2005, it seems like all of the IDM juggernauts were basically out of the spotlight. You know, even Boards of Canada had kind of faltered with the Campfire head phase, I know that's a controversial opinion at this point, but when that came out, like, everybody was disappointed by it, I remember. Mm-hmm. And obviously Autechre were getting grouped into this same, like, decline by critics, you know, with, like, just, yeah, none of this stuff is good anymore, they've all run out of ideas, and that was kind of how they were all treated at the time. Interesting, though, that we are right on the cusp of a rebirth of electronic music, I think, with, like, Burial, The Knife, The Field on their way. Though we may have to kind of, like, return to that next episode, because it'll be like Quaristus comes out after all that is really starting to brew. So any thoughts at all on how Untilted fit or didn't fit into the context of 2005?
No, I think, you know, the thing about, like, the IDM juggernauts sort of faltering and falling out of the spotlight thing is sort of true. You know, it was a weird time where everything that was on, like, the radio, and if you went to a club or anything, I'm sure all you heard was, like, electronic music, but, like, in you know, such a pop, like, sort of sense, like you said, LCD Sound System, MIA, you know, I mean, even, you know, the big acts and stuff, like Britney Spears and stuff, you know, we're using you know, electronic kind of things. And I think maybe to a lot of people that maybe kind of and maybe unfairly, like, cheapened you know, IDM for you know, some sense. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it is strange that we're in such, like, a, you know, when a genre, you know, quote unquote, like, you know, dies or whatever, it's kind of rare that it comes back, or comes back so quickly. But we really are, like, on the cusp of such, like, a huge rebirth. I mean, the Burial and The Knife are, like, you know, so fantastic and everything. It's a strange thing, and I think we're, like, also getting close to the rebirth of Autechre and everything.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because it's kind of like Warp and just IDM and stuff. It you know, influences everybody pretty much, and then that always seems to happen, where it's like, once you've done that and everybody sounds like you and everybody's trying mm-hmm. to imitate you or appropriate your sound and popify it and stuff, then it's, like, kind of hard to stay relevant. You know, so, you know, it's not that matters. I mean, it's sort of my opinion that obviously Autechre continued to make, like, incredible, a lot of incredible work throughout this period, but it does get a little weird when everybody is, like, kind of imitating you to stay fresh. I'm asking this sort of facetiously, but we had listener James who kind of asked us to talk about the wider cultural context of records. I thought we could kind of test it here. I looked it up. I struggled to find anything, like, relevant and to, like, you know, really be able to say for sure that, oh, everybody was listening to Untilted when it came out, this would have been on their minds. But Star Wars Episode 3 was just about to come out when Untilted came out. Hurricane Katrina was a few months away. I have no fucking idea. Do you think any of the culture impacted the listening experience of Untilted at all?
You know, I I struggle to remember what 2005 was like. You know, I was in 11th grade. Yeah, I remember Star Wars coming out. That's about it. But yeah, I mean, I don't feel like Ottecker is, you know, seems very inspired by Star Wars or anything. You know, I don't sense any pre-hurricane sounds here either.
I don't know. I mean, maybe we'll try to bring it up. And actually, from here on out, we're going to probably actually remember stuff coming out. So maybe we'll have more to say on that front. But wanted to give it a try. So let's wrap up here. How would you sum up? You know, how did it go with Untilted these past 2 weeks? Is it underrated? How do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned it a little bit, but, you know, this was the first record that I more had to, like, make myself, you know, listen to. It was more like of a chore than in the past, but not in the same way. I think I said something similar about Draft, but, you know, Draft, it felt like a chore because of you know, a lack of creativity or whatever. This just was like a record that I don't feel is entirely, you know, to my taste. Especially, you know, I think what that one listener said about like the eggnog thing, it's the kind of thing you want once or twice a year. That is how I really feel about this record. You know, I don't think it's bad at all. I enjoy it. I think like from an artistic standpoint, I think it's excellent. Like I love the like statement of it. I love everything about it. Like on paper, it's just not like necessarily the record that I want to hear or want to listen to all the time. So, you know, how did it go? It went fine. You know, like I with all these Ottecker records, there's none I like actually hate, you know, there's no record that I'm I gotta listen to this, you know? You know, you gotta get a little nitpicky sometimes. And I think that this is the one that kinda is that for me.
Wow. Well, you know, I had another chiastic slide kind of experience where I was like, what's wrong with me that I never gave this its due? It's like, I think just absolutely brilliant, like just a totally hidden gem of a record. You know, I understand why a lot of people have tuned out at this period and maybe are circling back around now, which is why it seems like it's kind of rating and consensus is kind of rising a little bit here. I think it deserves it. I think it's just like totally inspired. It's totally inventive. It's totally new. It's like I said earlier, like the spirit of inventiveness that was on Confield that I love so much there, but just used for entirely different ends, like fun, energetic ends, and they just nail it, I think. So I'll kind of say my, you know, we're keeping our running rankings here. I did a little shifting around, but I ended up putting this at number 4.
Oh,
right below Confield. And right above Amber. I actually used to have Amber just above Confield, but I decided to switch those and then to put Untilted right in the middle. So my top 10 right now is number 10, Envain, 9, Incunabula, LP5, Gantz Graf, Sickly Sweet, Amber, Untilted, Confield, Chiastic Slide, and Tri Repete. Where, dare I ask, did Untilted end up in your ranking?
I put it just one notch above Draft 730. Which lands it at number 11. So my top 10 is Envain, Sickly Sweet, Garbage, Incunabula, EP6, Confield, Amber, LP5, Chiastic Slide, and then Tri Repete at number 1.
You said EP6. Is that because it's ad number 6?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, EP6, you don't know that record?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, there is an EP6. I just can't remember exactly which one it would be. all right. Any closing thoughts on this chapter of the Ottecker journey?
No, I mean, you know, I'm sort of glad to be moving away from it in a sense.
Wow.
You know, like I said, none of this is bad to me, but this is like the era I'm sort of least excited for, especially as we hurtle towards the section that I'm, you know, probably most excited for. You know, but that's about it. Anything for you?
You know, I'll just say, I guess what I've learned here today is that it's not for everybody, but if you ever find yourself agreeing with me about the things I say on this podcast, and you haven't spent much time with this record, listen to it because it blew my fucking mind.
All right. Well, what do you think about Untilted? We're doing another listener bonus email episode next week. So send us your thoughts, gonkcastpod@gmail.com. Next proper episode in 2 weeks on Choristus and the EPs. We're not 100% sure on how we're going to do it because it's like 800 hours of music. but we want your opinions, hot takes. Give them to us, gonkcastpod@gmail.com. If you like the show, help us out by subscribing. Leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. Look us up YouTube. Stay connected. Twitter, Instagram @GonkCastPod, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.